for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 31st, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bruce Miller is the teacher of the morning.
He asked me the other day if I could recommend a book, and it was Miriam, and I told her, yes, I recommend this one, Spoiling Python Schemes by Bobby Jean Merck. If you've never read it, you need to pick it up. And don't just take it up to the room, just buy it and take it home with you. One particular little passage here on the back on the battleground, very important notes here. It says, first of all, we can recognize the inner working and deteriorating effects of beguiling spirits and attitudes and thought life. If beguiling spirits are working against you, there will be a sense that the simplicity of Jesus is eroding. And you find that throughout the body of Christ right now. Beguiling spirits at work. And she moves in the prophetic as well, and I have a prophetic, prophecy, all right, from her given October 25th, 1998 in Joliet, Illinois. For it is the time of my commissioning. I have brought you into the season, I have brought you into the hour when I'm sending you forth. For I've called you to be laborers in my harvest. It is your harvest time. I've asked you to look up and see the fields that are ripened to harvest. I've anointed you and have appointed you, and now it's a time for you to turn away from that which has so easily beset you, those weights that have held you back and those weights that have held you down. For those have only been distractions. Those have only been diversionary tactics of the enemy to keep you from going into the harvest field that are ripe unto harvest. Many of you have been chafing at the bit. Many of you have been resisting the Holy Ghost, and I've placed you where you are. It is my divine appointment for my divine season upon your life, for you are the carrier of my glory, and you are the carrier of my anointing. You have within you the way, the truth, and the life. I placed in you certain places that are difficult for you. I placed you in certain places that are difficult for you. They're not difficult to your spirit, but they're difficult to your soul, and they're difficult to your flesh nature. It is a hard place for you in those areas, but I placed you there as a light. I placed you there that you might swallow up the darkness, that you might dispel the darkness with the light that is within you, the light of the glorious gospel and the light himself and the word of the light that you are impregnated with. Some of you are so full in pregnancy you're uncomfortable. Some of you are saying, I cannot stand it this way. It's not any longer. That is because you are at a time of birthing. You are at the time of releasing. I have you in that corner, as it were. I pushed you into the corner and there's no place for you to hide. There's no place for you to go because I've placed you there by my divine appointment. And when that appointment is fulfilled and your assignment is fulfilled, I will promote you and bring you to another place in another time. For I have ordained you, I have given you to your generation, as I said to Jeremiah, I appointed you even while you were in your mother's womb. I gave you to your generation while you were in your mother's womb, and so I say these things unto you. You are at a time and a season for reaping. It's a time of harvest, saith the Lord of hosts. It's a time that you will see that you have been going forth and bearing your little seeds, your precious seeds, and you've scattered them where you could. You've done what you could, you've spoken what you could, you've prayed as you could, and you've given as you could. Even though out of a little they are precious unto me, and you do not get the harvest of exactly what you sow, you receive multiplication. This is now the time when you are going to go forth and come forth reaping with great joy, reaping a mighty harvest of that which you have sown. So look up, for I commission you, I appoint you, and you shall be anointed to accomplish the work that I have placed upon your shoulders. Then the government shall be upon my shoulders, and you will find that indeed I am the one who is sovereign in your life and in the affairs of your life. I have the government of your life in my hands, and I am the authority of your life. So submit unto my will, and then it will be peace, be still, and the storms of life will be over, and you will shout the shouts of victory and rejoice that at last the time has come and the battle has surely been won. Amen. You know, that's some good news. Amen. I got some other good news. I guess it was probably July camp meeting. I was sitting over there underneath that speaker, and I had a little micro cassette, and I was up there so I could get a good recording on the message. Tommy Cook come back there and prophesied over me and said, get out of the corner. And it was in Isaiah, that word was, and to teach. Well, it took a few months, but I'm out of that corner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, Tommy's a precious, precious brother. I was up there at the Waffle House the other night getting a little something to nibble on, and the waitress there, she was kind of a single-parent mother, and I got to feeling real sorry for her, just a young girl, and, you know, I figured, well, she got to drop her baby off at the babysitter and then come to work, and, you know, she's not really raising a child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we'll say. And so I got to feeling sorry for her, and I thought, well, this thought came to my mind, and I said, well, I'll just tell her that, you know, if I can help her out, if she needs any clothes or food or needs some money, just give me a call. Now, I was going to give her Tommy Cook's card after I said that. But you see, I'm not Tommy Cook. That's the only problem with that. That's the only problem with that. And so neither are you anybody else but you. You are who God made you. I used to have a real problem. Everybody telling me, you know, do like this and do like that. And, you know, and they had you preaching like Kenneth Hagin and acting like Jimmy Swaggart and doing this or that, you know. And, you know, you just got to be you. God has created you. You're very special to God. Nobody else has your voice, Prince. No, you know what that means? That means that nobody else can sing like I do. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. And that means that nobody has my footprints and nobody has my fingerprints. I'm special. I'm unique to God. Hallelujah. And so are you. I got really tickled one time. We had a little prayer meeting going, and, you know, I'm not Tommy, but I put my pants on just like he does, one leg at a time. Hallelujah. And we're all the same. We just need to come into what God wants for us and to move in that. And we had a Bible study going one time, and there's a sister, and she gets up there in the prayer line, and the Lord told me that she wanted to prophesy. And I said, and she got up there in front of me, I said, do you want to prophesy? And she said, well, yeah, I do. But I just can't. I said, fear, come off the back of that tongue in Jesus' name, and out come that prophet. And she prophesied for about 15 minutes. Hallelujah. What was stopping her? The same thing that's stopping a lot of you, fear. So, from moving and doing what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. I guess the title of this message is just a continuation. The other, I just unhitched over there the other day. I'm going to hitch back up, but Exodus number 2, and about the exodus from this world system. And I probably don't have a whole lot of time to recap on it, but the truth of the matter is that there's parallels between the children of Israel and us today. Hello? And there's a lot of parallels. Maybe we never thought about looking for them, but they're there. The children of Israel, when they come out of Egypt, they come out delivered by the high hand of God. Just like we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. The problem was, all the Egypt wasn't out of them. Hello? When you got saved, you looked in the mirror. The next day, you looked just like you did, for the most part. But this salvation had to be worked out of you. Your spirit man was that which was born again. Hallelujah. Your flesh man, it needed work. Hello? Some of us was instantly delivered from several things. And some of us had to come to Lake Hamilton. Hello? But the thing is that we all went to the Lord. Well, the children of Israel, when they got out of Egypt, and God had given them all these promises, you find out that they were complaining and murmuring, which is a sign of ingratitude. Has anybody ever done that? Okay. Well, I think that was probably one of the first steps. But it also says after a while, that they weren't satisfied with that manna and with that fresh water with no chlorine in it or nothing bad just coming out. That rock was Christ Jesus, and they hit it, and that water come out. But they began to want some meat to eat. Hello? I had somebody ask me, says, what's the problem with high blood pressure? And I said, lust. He says, where do you get that? I said, well, it doesn't apply to everybody, but I know this black bishop, and he had a problem with high blood pressure, and he asked everybody to pray for him. So I started praying and asking God, and the Lord told me that he ate too much meat. And he gave me that scripture that they lusted after meat. Hello? How many of you got to have meat in every meal? I won't look. See the hands? Hallelujah. Got to have meat every meal. Be careful. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I love the black people. I've been ordained in a black church years ago, in Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal church. One of the things one of the brothers said to Brother Harrison that really stuck with me, he was a deacon, and he said, I don't want for nothing. You ever heard that before? Don't want for nothing. That's exactly what that verse means. I shall not want says, I've got everything, I don't want for nothing. And if we'll get that ingrained in our heart that we don't want for anything, hello, things will change in our life. It's already been provided, everything that we've got need of. Psalms 34:9 says, O fear ye the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. I remember one time it was this pastor, and he was taking up an offering, and he was trying to get everybody to mortgage their houses and stuff so that they could buy this church, you know, and it was the church where Smith Wigglesworth preached. And I thought about that, I don't understand this, you know, $60,000, $100,000 what houses are in California on up, you know, and Cracker Box, $60,000. I said, well, you know, I don't understand this. Why do they have to have that church? Is that going to make him preach like Smith Wigglesworth? Or is that going to make him have all them miracles, you know? But I just didn't understand this. And I got ready to go outside, and the Holy Ghost said, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that wait upon the Lord shall not want for anything. Hallelujah. Get a hold of that. They that wait on the Lord. I know it's hard to wait sometimes. Hello? But God can give us grace. The children of Israel, they had trouble waiting. They had trouble waiting. Hello? You know, and when they begin to have trouble waiting, they begin to rebel. Hello? Now, I'm going to use a different word than rebel for the rest of this message. I'm going to use the word Jezebel and Ahab. So if I ever say those things, you think of it as rebellion. But they rebelled against God. Now, I know that every day we go through things. And there is a natural tendency in the flesh to rebel. Brother Bob just put it pretty good last night. The flesh is a jerk. I mean, that's bottom line. It's a jerk. And when I'm in the flesh, I don't want to be around you, but you don't want to be around me for sure. Hello? Because in the flesh there is no good thing. Hallelujah. It says in Matthew that we're not to be concerned about the things of every day. You know, we take no thought for your life, it says. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what kind of clothes you're putting on. And just take no thought for those things. And there's a place that you can get in God that you be so wrapped up in God that those things don't matter. It just don't matter. And you can get to another glory realm in God where you begin to give away a bunch of that stuff. Because you don't want it around you. Hello? You don't want it to beset you. You don't want it to hold you back. Scripture says, what does it profit? That we would gain the whole world and lose our soul. Lose eternal life. I was sharing with Brother Bob that night. Back years ago, I was in this trailer, and I opened the closet, and I had one suit on, and I opened the closet, and there was nothing in there. Because it was just a borrowed trailer type thing. I started prophesying. I said, and I prophesy 7 new suits in there, one for every day of the week, in Jesus' name. I no sooner got that out of my lips than the Holy Ghost said, Colossians 3:2, just like that. I looked it up and said, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Hallelujah! That confession didn't work that I had. That proclamation didn't work because my affections were twisted. Hello? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. If the children of Israel would have begun to seek God, they wouldn't have been complaining. They would have been a more patient people. They would not have rebelled against God. They would not have resorted to trying to manipulate God. They would not have had that golden calf in their heart when Moses took off to the mountain. Because when they got back there, it was in the reality, but it was already in their heart before he even went up there. Hallelujah. How many golden calves do we have in our hearts? How many idols do we have in our hearts? How many things are ambitions, desires, and they're just driving us? Hallelujah. Including ministry. Hello? The Bible says, wait on your ministry. Wait. Moses had to wait. You know, we're talking about that new animated movie about the Prince of Egypt. And I watched most of that movie, part of it. I really don't like animation, but I watched it. And they had Moses pictured as a man about 34, 36 years old, and immediately a flag went up. Man, he was an old man when God called him out. Hallelujah. He was 80-something years old when God said, all right, now it's time. We got you straightened out now. But see, the problem with us is most of the time that we get older, we get more entrenched in our stubbornness and set in our ways. We like concrete. Hello? Yeah, we are. All mixed up and thoroughly set. Hello? We couldn't be budged with a piece of dynamite or an atom bomb sometimes in our opinionated ideas. Hello? I know it might be tight, but it's still right. Hello? There's times that we need to have a reality check, and we got into that the other day, but we need to have a reality check. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 in a NAS, whatever that means, says, so also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. What's that mean? Don't desire the gifts to show off. Desire the gifts that the church might be built up and edified. Hello? Hallelujah. Work on the gift that God has given you so that you might have a notch on your gun. No. That the church might be built up, that the church might be blessed. Hello? But too many times we got that all twisted around. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God so that he wouldn't let Israel go. And I submit to you that there's a whole lot of times that God is dealing with us and we're trying to rebuke the devil. I remember one time in specific. And I came from California and went all the way back to Missouri to go back home. And when I left, we had an old 61 Dodge Dart that looked like a Bonnie and Clyde car, like it'd been shot with a machine gun or something, you know. And we had that traveling. There was four of us, and I was the smallest one there, so you know the rest of them was pretty good size. And so anyway, we was going across there, and we crossed the desert. We got up there by Phoenix, and that car was using so much gas that the brother says, all right, says, what do you think we ought to do, Bruce? Why would he ask me, you know, pray, you know? I said, what do you think we ought to do? Do you think we've got enough gas so we turn around and go back and we'll be there? Or we go on. What do you think we ought to do? I said, well, I believe in faith. We'll just go on. So we pulled on up a little ways. I said, pull over here at this parts store. I went in there and got a set of points and condenser and put in that spark, some spark plugs, put in that car, spent a little of the money I had. And when we got to going again, that little thing got 46 miles to the gallon. You tell me that ain't God. 46 miles to the gallon on the stretch of road there. And it was just awesome. We got back home. I was telling a little story about that. We got back home, and the Holy Ghost said, your mother is going to give you $100 to go back on. I said, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. My mother ain't giving me that. See how easily it is to be confused because we get ingrained that this is the way people are and that they'll never change, but God can move mountains for you. Hallelujah. God can change anything in your life for the good if you let Him. But see, we get ingrained in our minds and our hearts, and just like the children of Israel when they took off out of Egypt. All of a sudden they got, I sure would like to have some of them leeks and onions. You got any, Moses? Hallelujah. The lust of the flesh, again, the lust of the tongue. Well, I sure, you know, They forgot about all the bondage, and all they remembered was, man, I sure wish I had some leeks and onions. Hello? I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd look forward to onion soup every day. Hallelujah. And I'm convinced that every woman I've met never wear the same dress for 40 years. Hello? And none of you guys wear the same shoes for 40 years. Hello? You might like to think you're frugal, but you'd never do that. Say amen. Go ahead. But you know, Satan has not got any new bag of tricks. It's the same old stuff. And he stirs up people against you. They'll put out little hints. They'll put out little comments, little insinuations, little smears, maybe a wag of the tail or, you know, a motion with the hand to try to make you look bad or even a lofty look. What are you going through? It's the same parallel as the children of Israel. Satan uses brothers that, number one, they don't know conviction from condemnation. Number two, they don't know God's voice from Satan. They don't know a demon from an angel, and they're too haughty. They're unteachable. They're dogmatic, and they're fleshly. Then to make it all worse than that, God allows them to lay their tongue on anointed ministry of God so they can come under a curse for it. Hello? The Bible says, touch not God's anointed. Do his prophets no harm. Where did it all start with Israel? Well, Jezebel and Ahab. Now, I said earlier I was going to use those words instead of rebellion. Let's just think about this thing. You know, it seems like that spirit wants to come out and attack prophets all the time. Well, it ain't changed. It's still doing that. And with the discerning of spirits, that gift in operation, or close to perfection, you can just feel that spirit on people. Just discern it just like that. There are different times of day, different people, different days. And I used to wrestle that. Well, you know, that's a Jezebel spirit in that. Why don't they want to get delivered? You know, one particular one, I said, man, I just don't understand this. And the Holy Ghost gave me that scripture. Those that want to be filthy, let them be filthy still. But the word let was what I had to do. I just had, okay, that's where they want to be. But in reality, doing a reality check again, let's look at this thing, because we're at a perfect time to do this, you see. We are going to cast out 1998, and we're going to ordain in 1999. So let's cast out the bondage. Let's cast out the bondwoman. Let's cast out the bondage of Pharaoh, the bondage of the past, and let's adopt in and accept the ordainment of God for 1999. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to this year. This is my jubilee. Hello? Hallelujah. God wants us to be free from church stuff, too. Oh, my Lord. Did I get my can of worms in? Hello? God wants us to be free of church stuff. You know, it all starts up here in our thought life and what we accept, you know. I thought about that. And, you know, I went back to this Jezebel thing. I was wondering, now, why do I feel that spirit? And the Lord began to show me that spirit was laying dormant in a lot of people. And they began to give it a little fuel by usurping authority over somebody. Hello? They begin to give it a little fuel, and so it flares up, and you discern it. And pretty soon they keep giving it fuel, and they keep giving it fuel, and they keep giving it more to work on, and it's rampant, it's blatant, it's there for everybody to see. The Bible says some men's sins go on before them. And that means everybody can see what's in their life. Well, it says, I've never rebelled, I've never submitted to Jezebel's spirit. I'm probably going to call you a liar today. Hello? If you woke up this morning, you had a chance, you had an opportunity to think godly thoughts. Have you done it for the last 4 or 5 hours? Have you allowed your mind just to think on one thing that was ungodly? Have you allowed your mind to become critical in your heart or mind of one person? You've rebelled against God. See how easy it is? But the problem is a lot of times our flesh is so comfortable that when someone says we got a Jezebel spirit or we got an Ahab spirit, we are offended. We should rejoice because they just identified something we need help with. And if we're going to lay aside that heavy weight that so easily holds us back or besets us, it says in Psalm 40 and 12, innumerable enemies have compassed me about, and mine iniquity hath taken hold upon me that I cannot look up. I had an opportunity one time to teach the Vietnamese in California. There was mostly spirit-filled Catholics, a few spirit-filled Baptists, and and a few charismaniacs. And it was just a little simple Bible study. But, you know, the Vietnamese people, they were brought over here. A lot of them was allowed to come. A lot of them didn't make it. And they had to carry the rice and the heavy burdens on their load. And I was preaching on something or other one time. But, you know, I used that illustration, and that was something that they could relate to, being burdened down. You know, the Scripture says that God Himself will burden us down with labor to deal with us. Hello? Didn't read that? He will burden us down. I know this pastor, and I mean, he was one of my former pastors, and man, he's just working and working and working and working and working and working. No time to pray, no time to stay, no time to do anything with God. And you just come up one time, you know, in conversation. He used to tell everybody preaching, says, "Luce has given me more words of knowledge than I ever heard." But, you know, if the prophetic is in you, if the gifts are in you, they're going to come out in everyday life. Hello? But a religious spirit will tell you to wait till you get to church and lay hands on somebody and prophesy. And no, they're for everyday life. Hello? Hello? The wisdom of God is for everyday. Hello? Glory to God. Well, it's still true. Did you realize that we are destined to rule the nations? And so many times we can't even rule our own families or rule our own flesh, our own body. Come on now. Come on. If you haven't got Bob Buse's tapes, you better get them, because he's been sending some fire to burn some flesh. Hallelujah. He's been having barbecued flesh every time he preaches. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Having barbecued flesh. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Hardened his heart. Made him put more on the Egyptians. Made him do more. But how did that all happen? Well, the first thing is a seducing spirit was sent to him. And it burned his conscience. It seared his conscience. So that he couldn't even... it was cauterizing. You know, he couldn't even make a good judgment. He wasn't able to function. He was wounded. Wounded spirit comes with that. And he rebelled against God. And because a wounded spirit hates God. Now, if you hate God, you're going to hate God's people. Close enough. And that hate got stronger and stronger and stronger against the people of Israel. It wasn't the people of Israel that sent the lice, that sent the frog, that turned the water into blood. Hello? Now, I said earlier that this parallel thing of what we're going through, it is not going to be you. It's going to send catastrophe on the earth. But it's God. So that your friends, maybe, or your relatives, maybe, are going to hear and see the gospel. And guess what? They're going to hate you for it. Hello? The Bible says people in your own family are going to hate you. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but mine pretty well disowned me after I got ordained in the black church. Hello? I mean, that was it. The closest I got to acceptance was my ex-sister-in-law said one time, she says, "Do them black women hug you?" I said, "Yeah, they kiss me too, and it don't rub off." Hello? Back in my neck of the woods up there, there's a lot of prejudice. I'm thankful that my father, my earthly father, was not prejudiced, and he taught against prejudice. Hallelujah. Do we ever entertain or have inclinations towards prejudice? Charles Finney said that prejudice means a preconceived notion. Ever have a preconceived notion? You wake up in the morning and it's cloudy and you say, "Oh, it's going to be a nasty day." Preconceived notion. God can pop that sun out any time. Hello? "Oh, there's an ice storm coming. I'm going to have a lot of trouble getting back home." Preconceived notion. The fire of God goes before me and melts all that ice. Hello? Practice what you've been taught. The fire of God going before me, and I'm not going to have no trouble getting home. Hallelujah. I take authority over the element. We're set here to rule this earth. Hello, somebody. We're waiting for Jesus to come back and do it, and he's said on the cross, "It's finished. It's your job now. It's all yours. Go out. Occupy. Take over." We sing a song in my church that says, "I'm not just possessing. I come to take over." Hallelujah. I like that. It's full of victory. It's full of life. And that's our job, our responsibility. The problem is, what's not written in the Scripture is that there's a fine art of dangling that we've got to do. Hello? There's times we got to hang loose as a goose, and there's times we got to hang on with everything we got. That's a fine art to be able to know by God's Spirit what He wants you to do in a situation. There's times when you make friends, there's times when you let go of friends. Hello? There's times when you make money, there's times when you let go of money. Hello? Depends on where your heart or your treasure is. And God may just upset your apple cart sometimes just to get your heart straightened out. Hello? I remember one time I was really having problems with this fellow that owed me $400. I mean, he flat beat me out, said he wasn't going to pay me, on and on. Made me take the back door leaving the house. Couldn't even go out the front door. I was so humiliated. And I went to the church service that night and sat in my customary place in the back. And I was just trying to get into worship, and I was trying to rejoice. Oh, yeah, I have a customary seat in the back, you know, because I figure if I sit back there, God will exalt me. Look what happened. I'm preaching today. It must work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm sitting back there, and I'm trying to get enter into worship service, and I couldn't hardly do it. I mean, it was so hard. Oops, double negative. I was really trying to get into worship, and I couldn't do it. And finally, I did get into worship, and I just went higher and higher and higher in worship and rejoicing in God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, when I got up on level 3 or 4, maybe it was 9, I don't know, but when I got up there somewhere, the Holy Ghost said, "That money is so trivial compared to eternal life." You're right, Lord. I forgive him. Glory! That money is so trivial compared to eternal life. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want to squeeze it, though. Tommy brought out in Revelation 12 and 5 that the woman brought forth a man-child, and that man-child was to rule or govern the earth. A shepherd of all nations, we find there. Another scripture that was brought out was Matthew 25, 6 through 8. And at midnight there was a cry made. We all know that story about the wise and the foolish virgins. But in reality, how did the foolish become foolish? They didn't start off foolish because they got saved. Hello? I heard a definition of lukewarmness here a while back and just blessed my heart. And this is that definition. When you start off seeking God and quit, that's lukewarmness. Hello? You start off seeking God and then just quit. You remember those days when we had to fast and pray and do all that and just seek God and stay before God? And what happened? Well, we got educated. We don't have to do that anymore. Well, we got philosophized. That's what happened to us. We got beguiled. That's what happened to us. We got seduced. That's what happened to us. We left our first love. That's what happened to us. God is saying, let's cast that out. Let's cast out 1998. It's ordained in 1999. God has given us too much. He's deposited too much in our heart just to let it go. We're supposed to develop the fruits of the Spirit in our life. That's what the Pentecostals will tell you. The Charismatics will tell you, no, we're supposed to develop the gifts in our life. The truth is, they're both right. We are to develop the fruit and the gifts in our life. Hello? It's not just one or the other. It's both. The fruit and the gift. The gifting that God has given you. Perfect it. Develop it. Nurture it. Work on it. As Jay sang one of my favorite songs this morning. He didn't know it. I didn't tell him, go sing that song. But the Holy Ghost put it on his heart and just blessed my heart. Hello? And God will send little nuggets by us and some too many times we just miss it altogether. Dismiss it. You know why? Because we've become too much a friend of this world. Hello? We want them to be entertained, somebody said. I picked up a list of spirits. I'm just going to kind of read them. But they deal with ingratitude. Remember I said that everything was parallel in reference to us and the Israelites. They came out of bondage, but while they was out of bondage, they become unthankful to God. Ingratitude to God, dishonor of God, rejection of God and His dealings with you, thanklessness, hatred towards God, punishment, discontent, lying to yourself, cover-up lies, cringing fear, ineptness, fear of failure, dishonor of self, dishonor of others, futility, foolish reasonings, vain, godless imaginations, stupid speculations, senseless minds, foolishness, lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, idolatry, sexual impurity, homosexuality, indecency, incest, loathsomeness, unrighteousness, iniquity, and guilt, covetousness, grasping, greed, and malice, envy, jealousy, and murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will, cruel ways, secret backbiting. You ever compare notes with somebody else about somebody else? The Lord gave me the definition of gossip one time. When you talk about somebody and don't pray for them. Hello? Well, so-and-so, boy, they got... Mm-hmm. Did you pray for them? Well, no, we was too busy discussing it. We was comparing notes. Hello? Gossip, slandering, hateful of God, secret backbiting, ill will, cruel ways, insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of evil, undutiful to parents, having no understanding, without conscience, faithlessness, heartlessness, loneliness, mercilessness, fantasy, poverty in soul, poverty in spirit, poverty in body, poverty in pocketbook, want, lack, self-centeredness, insufficiency, rationalization, pride, murmuring and complaining, abusive, contemptuous, blasphemous scoffers, arrogant and contemptuous, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, boasters, unholy, profane, callous and inhuman, relentless, unforgiving, lacking natural affection, troublemakers, false accusers, intemperate, loose morals, fierce, haters of God, treacherous, self-conceited, angry towards God, fierce, betrayers, hypocrites, haters of God, rash, lovers of sexual pleasures and vain amusements, scornful, destroyer, lying, cursing, handwriting analysis, palmistry. Those are all ingratitude. Did anybody say ouch? Well, I hope so. Hallelujah. Oh, me. Hello? Ingratitude towards God. A lot of times we have things coming against us and so forth. We just need to pray and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What is going on? Instead of being so quick to cut somebody else down. Hello? The name Jezebel has been synonymous with a strong, bossy female, a powerful witchcraft spirit. Let me set that record straight. Jezebel's spirit gets in men, too. Hello? And if you have a controlling boss, chances are you have a Jezebel spirit at work. And you keep praying, you're wondering, oh, why don't things change? Why don't you bind that Jezebel spirit and watch things change? Oh, I got a Jezebel pastor. Yeah, well, bind that spirit. Hello? He's so controlling. Well, bind that spirit. Stop looking at him and finding fault with him and bind the spirit that's affecting him. Hello? And maybe he'll just quit yielding to it. Maybe you'll quit yielding to it. Hello? See, actually, some people, they get offended, but, you know, I think it's a favor if you tell somebody what the problem is. I used to have a Bible study. I really don't like to wear suits at all anymore. I must confess that. I used to have a Bible study, and I decided I'd wear a tuxedo to Bible study. Boy, was that out of place. And finally, the sister come up, and she loved me enough to tell me the truth, and she says, Brother Bruce, the Lord showed me he's got a spirit of pride. Oh, yeah, right. I want to bash her one. But when I got through praying, I got delivered from the spirit of pride. Hello? I was dressed inappropriately. But see, I had this teaching that, you know, you ought to be your best and look your best. Well, you ought to be your best and look your best, but let's not go overboard. A Bible study, a tuxedo, come on now, give me a break. It reminds me of the time that God called me to preach, and, you know, and I was having these vain imaginations. I was praying in for a Learjet, you know. I had this idea I was going to jump from one service to another. Hello? I got down to Amarillo, Texas, and preached in a little timber box one that night on the sheep and the goats. We had two people get saved. Next morning, they went out, and there was three flat tires out of the four. What was that? Well, God wasn't done with us yet. He wanted to stick around a little bit, so got to do some more ministry. And I'm laying out there on this picnic table, just rejoicing, watching the stars, thanking the Lord for having something to do with me and using me, and just being humble before the Lord, but being grateful. And the Holy Ghost said, "I'll take you on the back of a load of chickens that I have to get you to where I want you to preach." I said, "We got a deal. We got a deal." I got back to California, and I was up in the Anaheim, L.A. area, and I seen the people. I was staying with an attorney in San Clemente and doing some work for him, and I seen the truck in front of a little Datsun pickup with a camper shell, and I asked the bus driver, "Let me get off this bus," and he did. You know, I think that's against the rules, but he let me get off, and I jumped in the back of that, and the cats and dogs and everything went through. But you know, when I got through that door, the very first thing I smelled like a chicken coop. All the dog hair and cats and stuff, it just had that familiar farm odor to it. I said, "Lord, I thank you. I'm delivered." Hallelujah! Glory to God. So however God gets you to where He wants you to be, it ought to be all right with you. Hello? Hallelujah. And it's good preaching. Go ahead and say it. Yeah. It's the Holy Ghost. He's dealing with attitudes. Remember, pray for my attitude so that I'll have an attitude of prayer. Glory to God forevermore. Well, Jezebel is busy in the post office. She's busy in the barber shop. Hello? Busy in the school systems. Busy in the cafeteria and the coffee shop. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, she's from the pastor's office to the janitor's closet. She's everywhere. Only it's not a she. Demons don't have gender. It's an evil spirit of witchcraft or dominance. You ever be talking to somebody? Did somebody else just butt in before you're finished and just start talking? No, don't tell me, Brother Bruce, that's Jezebel's spirit. No, it's stubbornness. They step on your toes and just keep walking. Don't say, "Excuse me, I'm sorry." That's because they're all wrapped up in themselves. They're stubborn. And stubbornness is as idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23. But you know, in that same sentence, it says rebellion is as witchcraft. Hello? Stubborn people are full of witchcraft. Yeah, because they're in idol worship. I asked the Lord one time, "What do you mean that? That's idolatry." He says they're worshiping self. Stubbornness. If you're stubborn, you worship yourself. Hello? You need to repent. Hello? I know you ain't going to shout me out on this one, but it's right anyhow. I had this one friend of mine, and I preached on Jezebel in the church and Jezebel in the home and in the church, you know, and he said, "I know you was on your way out when you preached that." It wasn't long, about 2 weeks, and it asked me to leave. Hello? Who asked me to leave? The pastor's wife. Hello? What did I uncover? I uncovered Jezebel's spirit in her and Ahab's spirit in him. And then they decided they didn't want to get rid of it. Everything going on is normal. Don't rock the boat. Let me tell you, I'm going to shake you right out of it. It's got a boat. I'm going to shake you out of your tree. Glory to God, because I love you enough to tell you the truth. Hello? Most of the time, I'm just telling you things I've done been through. Because God is no respecter of person. He delivered me, He'll deliver you. Hello? If He set my attitude right, He'll set your attitude right. Say, "Well, I don't want my attitude set right." Go ahead, be filthy. I don't care. That's your prerogative. I desire, I want, I pray for, I plead with, and I admonish. Let go of it. But it's your will. You can keep it. You can keep those things that will so easily beset you. But I've got no news for you. I've got a notice to give you that in this last move of God, while you're sitting there filthy in your sins, God's going to use somebody else. Hello? And then you're going to feel real. "Oh, why didn't I get rid of it? Why didn't I clean up?" The trumpet is blowing. Time to clean up. Time to get right with God. Time to let go of the past. Those schemes and plays and ways of manipulating people, of using people to get what we want, to do what we want to do. It's got to be over with. Hello? It cannot be in the new world order, which is God's world order. It can't be there. Can't be there. No unclean thing going to go into heaven. We're going to get so close to heaven in these last days. Hello? Some of us are going to say, "I've been found out. Woe is me. Unclean lips." Hello? Why don't we do that today? Take care of that today. Hello? And there's a whole lot of things about Jezebel that we do not understand. there's a whole lot of things about Ahab we do not understand. And there are times when those spirits transfer between people. A person can have Jezebel's spirit and have an Ahab spirit too. We know that from personality changes in people. There's also a Jezebel in the religious world. She comes to church and sits up there and praises God just like you do. I ran across a fellow one time, a Japanese fellow in San Diego, and he said, "Praise God." I said, "Well, praise God. Are you a Christian?" "No, I just like the way it sounds." He was a Buddhist. Hello? He was saying all the right things. Huh? Sometimes we get to be saying people and not doing people. It was said that Jesus would show us the works. He manifested himself by openly destroying the devil, wiping him out. Hello? Someone said, "How do you get any closer to God?" Well, get rid of the devil. Get rid of the things that are not close to God in your life. And I don't know, I call it the law of vacuum. That's probably bad terminology, but you know, you suck something out and something else can fill it up. That's all I know. If you get out the devils, then there's more glory resting on you. There's more glory in you. But what about this religious Jezebel? Well, we call it charismatic witchcraft. They prophesy, they speak in tongues, they interpret tongues, and all the known things, you know. But the problem is, it's motivated by another spirit. It's motivated by a familiar spirit. Oh, don't say that. Yeah. A familiar spirit is something that is a counterfeit to the Holy Ghost. And I know the sister, and I love her dearly. As a matter of fact, I let her manage one of our food pantries. And we have four of them. I let her manage one. She takes the food to senior citizens, about 35 of them every month. She prays with every one of them. I said, "Well, but she's got a familiar spirit." "Well, how can you let them?" "Because I bind that thing up. And her heart is right towards God and towards the people. And she's going to be delivered." I had my hands on her stomach praying for her one time in the house, and out come this spirit. And she'd never been delivered of anything before, never even knew a Christian could have a demon. She said, "What was it?" "Well, she had some problems against her mother. Some thoughts that had turned into anger and so forth against her mother. And God delivered her." Hello? A familiar spirit counterfeits everything God does. So Jezebel works real good with a familiar spirit. Jezebel works real good with a seducing spirit. Oh, so we're not seducing, you know. And we think of seducing as fornication or adultery. How narrow-minded can we be? There's mental seduction, and there's physical seduction, and there's spiritual seduction. And Jezebel goes for the throat, the jugular vein. Hello? Jezebel is a very vicious, vicious, vicious spirit. Loves to be in control, loves to take authority. And Jezebel will also get around a man of God or a woman of God to wipe them out. She'll send this cute little thing, or this handsome little thing, you know, and you just, "Oh, yes, oh, you're doing such great work." Man, I don't allow a bunch of yes people around me. Hello? I got one of the associate director, and I told him off everything but cussing him, I did. I said, "Look, if you want to be around me, one thing, you don't agree with everything I say, I don't want you around me. Because I know you're lying." Hello? Somebody lies from you, steal from you, too. Do you know that? Hello? Hello? Not that I didn't have enough food. I couldn't let go of some of it. But the fact was that if you agree with somebody all the time, yes, 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 you're not thinking. You sound kind of like you preach and say, "The cow jumped over the moon." Somebody's going to say amen. Somebody's going to, because they're not paying attention. Somebody's going to be half asleep and something was said and out comes, "Amen." I know this sister, and she was my business manager at the church for a while, and she preached a message. I think it was one of the best ones I heard. And it said, "A woman without discretion," that scripture, "is like a hog with a gold nose in its ring." In other words, everybody can see it. It's very noticeable. Well, let me go one step further. A church without any discretion is like a hog with a gold ring in its A family without discretion is like a hog with a gold ring in its nose. Noticeable and out of place. Well, she used to rub me raw with her undiscretionary remarks. But she was from over Quincy, Illinois, so I accepted on that behavior, considering the source. Hallelujah. But the source was a Jezebel spirit. And she told me, says one time, she said, you know, it was the hardest thing I had ever done to submit to you. And I said, I know. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Jezebel spirit doesn't want to submit. They want to take over. The Absalom spirit works with it. They want to take over. Hello? They try to undermine by getting everybody to side against the authority so they can take over. Look what Absalom done. He tried to literally rape the kingdom from David. That too is a wicked spirit. Well, glory to God. Jezebel's very religious. Jezebel's very occultic. Rebellion is as witchcraft, the scripture says. But you know, every day we're liable to rebel. And that's not a problem because we have Jesus Christ, our advocate. We can repent. But chances are that somewhere or another, because the little foxes are those that spoil the vines, somewhere or another we might forget that by the time midnight rolls around and we're praying. We might forget that we've rebelled against God in one way or another that day. If you rebel against authority, you're rebelling against God. Now I'm going to give a little testimony of myself. When I was a kid and I was about 10 or 11, this little girl's age, I remember my dad, and he was a German, strong disciplinarian. He had a razor strap this thick. If that didn't get you, the backhand did. And he was a very strong disciplinarian. He told me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. And we had a grocery store, and we had a long bench up there. And I can still remember to this day, kicking and stomping and throwing a temper tantrum, screaming the top of my lungs. And they just left me alone. But the devil didn't leave me alone now. See, the Bible says that, or teaches that God has given us parents, and they are our authority in this earth. Hello? They are an example or an extension or a ministry of God in this earth to us. So I rebelled against Dad, and I didn't want to do whatever it was he told me to do. It probably wasn't anything real hard, but I made it to be so terrible. Well, here's what happened. Nothing. Nothing happened for years and years and years and years and years. But one day I was going, when I was 34 years old, to Hagiswas Baptist Church up at Highland, Indiana, Win Worley's church. And all of a sudden, as I was driving down the road, I began to go blind. I began to panic. I said, God, I says, I know I get the help. I get to church, I'll get help, but I'm not sure I'm going to get there. I really need your help. And all of a sudden, the panic part left, and God cleared it up, and it was raining, cold, that sort of thing, but I could not see the exit signs until I got up past them. And I was literally going blind. And God took me, and he got me to that church, and the only seat left was the front row. And so I sat up there, and they had ministry, you know, the preaching, and then they said, anybody wants prayer? And they come and said, well, what do you want prayer for? And I said, my eyes, I was going blind getting here, and I you know. So they cast the spirit of rebellion out from behind my eyes and a spirit of blindness, and I regained 20/20 vision. Hallelujah. So I was a young buck, and I got back to California. I said, all right, Lord, give me scripture for that. His sister, the same one that said you got a problem with pride, came over there and said, Brother Bruce, I was reading this scripture today, and all of a sudden I thought of you, and I wanted to share it to you. Opened up Leviticus, the 26th chapter. And I began to read through those verses, and the first 11, 12 verses or so tells about how God is going to bless Israel, going to do this, going to do that, just going to bless her socks off. And then the clincher comes in the 13th verse or so and says, but if you will despise my statutes, if you will abhor my judgments, then I will do this unto you. I will give you burning ague of the eyes, which shall consume the eyes, and I'll give you terror, and I'll give you consumption, which we know is tuberculosis, and a whole list of things, the blotch, and so a whole list of things that God will do if you decide to rebel against him. That was the scripture that I needed. from God to understand why legally Satan had a right to afflict me with blindness. It didn't happen when I was 10 years old, but that spirit entered then. And it lay there dormant, and it lay there dormant, and it lay there dormant for 24 years. And then, all of a sudden, it manifested. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for deliverance. But thank God also for obedience. Hallelujah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I could sacrifice with big, thick glasses and everything, and I'm not saying anything against those that did. But I could sacrifice and still have all those problems. But obedience was better. And obedience is better. Obey those that have rule over you, the Scripture says. Obey those that are in authority over you. Hello? Every time I get to teach this to young people, it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop. And they receive right in their spirit. I feel that receiving taking place today too. Hallelujah. But we don't want to be healed of any blindness or rebellion just because our eyes are messed up or something else. But that we want to change and be obedient to God. Change a life of disobedience. I was totally amazed the other day. I thought this here a while back up in Illinois, this brother, he was so close to God. His music was so anointed, and his ministry and stuff. And I said, the more I'm around, you know, when you live with somebody, you find out what they're made out of. Don't you? Yep. When you live with somebody a little while, you find out what they're made out of. And I began to understand that he had never, or practically never, obeyed God's voice in his life. But he went by his own reasonings. And so when it come a time to live by faith, he was totally lost. Had no idea what to do. He was just, quote, as they say, a nervous wreck. When the money began to get down, and that was the case there, when the money began to dwindle down, it looked like it wasn't going to work, it looked like it wasn't going to pan out, it looked like God wasn't going to come through, then he began to get fearful. He began to get nervous. But he was smart enough to ask for prayer. Hello? And we got to be that way. We got to be smart enough to ask for prayer. Hallelujah. When God released faith. When God released faith, somebody called from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and said, yes, I want the house. I want to lease it, and then next year I'll buy it. Come down, sign the contract, and he was able to go. Hello? But it probably would never have happened if he hadn't repented of being fearful. If he hadn't repented of being impatient and begin to trust God. Begin to trust. You and I are the same way. We have an opportunity every day to trust our reasonings. Hello? Or to trust the Word of God. To trust what God is saying, Rhema, and to trust what God is saying, Logos. We have an opportunity every day. And most of the time, we reject the Word of God, be it Rhema or Logos, and accept our own reasoning, our own thought process. Why? Because it's ingrained in us. It started probably before we were born. Hello? With thoughts of rejection being spoken over the crib. Thoughts of rejection being spoken while we were yet in our mother's womb. Thoughts of rejection being planted as we growed up. I'll tell you one. It was one of my father's favorite ones. You better clean up your plate because you might not get anything for supper. Hello? I was the first one at the dinner table and the last one to leave every time. I eat everything there was. I cleaned every bowl. I licked every cake pan that was ever made. Hello? And I began to look like Buddha. Hello? And as a result of that, after I got saved, many, 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 many years later, after I got saved, I really had a problem with fear that God would not supply my needs. Because my earthly father, it was ingrained into my heart, into my life, that he might not be able to make enough money to put something on the table for the next time. And that became so ingrained in my fear, ingrained in my psychic. I was sitting one time and I was couldn't sleep, tossing back and forth on the couch, just laid down for a little afternoon nap. I said, Lord, what's the problem? And he said, fear. So being a young buck preacher again, I said, give me scripture for that. And he spoke it right back to me. Matthew 10:31, it starts out with verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? and yet not one of them fall to the ground without your Father having notice of it. Verse 31, fear ye not therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. And you know, every time God has got such a... God is humorous. He don't have sense. He's just humorous. And it seems like when I get between a rock and a hard place, He'll send a couple sparrows to sing to me.
Oh, that's right.
Hallelujah. I got off of the train. I was heading for Amarillo, Texas, and I just knew that I needed to get back to there and just kind of minister there or something, you know. And I got off of how did I get there? Somehow or another. But anyway, I was there, and I said, I just didn't know what God was going to do, and I didn't have any money left in my pocket. I'd all give it all away. And I was headed there, and I said, well, I guess I'll stay at the mission. So I stayed at the mission for a couple of days. And about the third day, you know, they let you stay there 3 days or 2 days, whatever. About the third day, the Lord opened up a job for me. Went to what they call spot labor, where they have seasonal work right every day, and started working, riding a lawnmower. And I fell asleep on the backside on that lawnmower. I was on there so long. Got up and fell to the ground, Brother Bob. Just no feelings in my leg or anything. But you know, God began to supply, and He was still supplying all the time. But you know, on that third day, I woke up, and I started to be a little bit troubled about it. And I had my stuff. I had enough clothes, preached a two-week revival, and that's why I don't bring a lot of clothes anymore. I learned my lesson. Well, see, I had enough clothes, preached a two-week revival, and there I was all together, and a whole flock of sparrows come in and just started singing. I said, thank you, Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moved from there into the YMCA. Stayed there for a few months. I left California on a one-month vacation. I took them every year, 1 month. Couldn't do that when I was punching a time card. But when I released faith and began to believe God and stepped out on my own, He would allow me 1 month vacation every year. So this particular year, I was gone 3 whole months. Hallelujah. God provided supernaturally every day. I'm saying earlier that God is no respecter of persons. Went down to Las Vegas to minister one time, and I was supposed to drive a car back. The sister was going to buy the car. I had a check. The Lord told me to go to the post office. I had a check in there. I got there, and it was $167. He said, you got too much money. Give $100 of it away. So this girlfriend I was going with, I said, I'm going to give it to her, Lord, but the only way she won't accept anything like that, so you're going to have to touch her heart. So I picked the car up, picked her up from work that day, and flipped that $250 bills on her, and she just gasped. She said, you know, I had my bills in front of me this morning. I said, Lord, I need another $100 to pay these bills. And she accepted God's provision, and I accepted God's provision. Hello? With $67, cost $54 to get on that plane for a one-way ticket to Las Vegas. Not having a place to stay, not having anything. Hello, somebody? Living by faith. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought of what you'll put on your body, what you're going to eat, but just take off when God says go. So I got over to Las Vegas, and I called his sister, and she says, oh, no, I didn't get the car. The credit didn't go through. I can't get it. I said, well, okay, that doesn't matter. The Lord told me to come anyway. Well, I'll call around and see if I can get you a place to stay. She called us several places, and she finally got a hold of this one brother. His natural brother had just left the day before and moved out. He says, yeah, come on over here. Come out there with this old 1971 Dodge Aspen, I think it was, slant six. Got up to the airport, and it died. Meanwhile, I'm waiting in the airport for like 5 hours, see? Waiting on God, you know. Just look around and pray and just look around. Anyway, I get up there and here's this guy come up and the car died right there. The alternator went out. And I said, oh, praise God. I said, maybe I can get you jumped. I went over there and I said to this brother, this fellow at one of the rental car places. He had a van he just drove up in. I said, sir, I wonder if I could get you to jump us over here. No, God told me not to do that. I said, well, I'm right where you want me, Lord, between a rock and a hard place again. Hallelujah, but I'm not going to receive it. So I went back and I said, well, the Lord will send somebody here pretty soon. But when I said, praise God, when that car broke down, that caught that brother's ears. He said, something's definitely wrong with this guy. He's going to stay with me. Hallelujah. Something wrong with him. Caught his ears, you know. So anyway, I said, well, all right, I got a little money left. And so we got an alternator and put the alternator on the car. Went out and bought $10 worth of groceries, and we was all set. Hallelujah. Just had a good time ministering. You know what it was? Back somewhere in his prayers, he had prayed, and he said, God, I see so much phoniness in the church. Let me see somebody that's real. Hello? God is requiring, God is wanting us to be real people. They've seen all the sham, they've seen all the pretension, they've seen all the thoughts that call themselves Christian, but they want to see something real. That's why I didn't sing that song this morning, if you really want to know it. That song says, I got that peace of God down in my heart, and I've got this down in my heart. No, I let it go. I let it out. I don't keep it to myself. I let the love of God out. I let the peace of God out. I let it out. I don't just keep it down here. I let it out. Hello? So here we are over in this Las Vegas, Nevada. Didn't know a soul over there except one. And so I start ministering, doing some street stuff and so forth, and passing out tracts, having a good time in the Lord, and just witnessing, and just having a great time. Well, been there 10 days. I started off, you know, with no money hardly. And I was there for 10 days. God supplied my need every time. And then this says, you know, I told you about that old Dodge that picked me up. It got time to go, and I said, okay. And I called up. You know, I heard Jesse Duplantis speaking on the radio, and he was talking about you have not because you ask not. And I looked, and I had 67 cents in my pants pocket. I said, God, I said, they're after me because I have not because I ask not. So I'm asking in Jesus' name, and I put it back in my pocket. Got ready to go, and I called up the airline and said, I'm ready to go back home. I reserved such and such a plane. Didn't have but 67 cents in my pocket. Said, God, I'm reserving a plane. I'm going to go. So I got ready, and I got out there, and this lady come pick me up in a brand new Cadillac Seville. I sit in there, and I just enjoyed that leather, and I just enjoyed that car all the way to the airport, and I still didn't have but 67 cents. And the plane fare had gone down to $44. And she says, this sister says, you know, says, I've heard so much about your ministry, I felt like I've known you all my life. And says, here, and handed me a wad of money. I said, thank you, that'll be enough. And I reached up and paid out the things, and she come running there. She went to the snack bar and got me this great big piece of chocolate devil's food cake. I mean, it was big. And she says, I want you to have something to eat on the way. And so I said, okay, thank you so much. And I got on the plane. I got ready to get on the plane. There was a stewardess there and says, man, we almost took off without you. I said, this plane could not got off the ground without me being here. You couldn't have done it. And I walked in. She thought, there's another kook on board. Maybe I'd check him for arms or something, you know. But hallelujah, you'll be a kook to God, to the world, and maybe to some of God's people if you act what God tells you to do sometimes. Hello? And so there I was. Went back to San Diego. Man, I'm just enjoying. And I was, look at, oh, man, this is just rejoicing. And, you know, I usually get tracks. I would get 100, 200 tracks, and I'd go down to Tijuana, and I'd get on the Mexican side of the border and pass them out to Americans getting ready to come across the border while they're waiting. Passed out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tracks that way. Only had a couple refuse, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses, so it's not a big thing. But anyway, just ministry. You know, I got to where there was no ministry because there was no money. And I said, Lord, what's the matter here? He said, did you remember what you said back in Las Vegas about the folks in California being stingy? Lord, I repent. I'm so sorry. I ask you to forgive me and get that thing under the blood. Cleanse me from that silly thought because my dependence is on you. Sister come to Bible study that night or so, and she handed me an envelope, big old padded up envelope, and I thought it was a tract so I was praying for, so I stuck it in my pack, my back pants pocket. Got on up to the bathroom. I pulled a preacher's trick. I went to the bathroom and opened it up, and there was 20 $20 bills in there, $400. I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You're the same everywhere. I can go across the country. I can go across the world. Wherever you send me, I know I can go because you're going to provide my needs. Hallelujah. Hello? Somebody says, I wish I had faith like that. It's available. Yes. It's available. God is no respecter of persons. Right. Hello? When God decides, He provides. Yes. Hello? Yes. You just need to activate. We say that all the time in our church. It's a prophetic church. Activate. That means prophesy over somebody. Hallelujah. Activate. Activate. God is wanting to activate this morning. That was the sole thought of this whole message. It was coming to the fact that God does not want to activate the flesh, but He wants to activate the Spirit in our lives. God wants that Spirit to rise up and take over and not be moved by the things that we see. Hello? Not be moved by our circumstances, the things that we can see, touch, taste, or feel, but be moved by the Word of God. What the Word of God says, that's got the final say-so. I decided the other day I was Catholic. The word Catholic means universal believer. See, but what I was not is I was not a Roman Catholic. I was a Bible Catholic. In other words, the Bible has the last say-so, not the Pope. The Bible has the last authority. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm a Catholic. Hello. Universal believer. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, no, that just means the pastor or the one. That just means Tom here. That means just Bob. Or that just means Glenn. Or that just means the Phil. No, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Hello? They shall speak in new tongues. Shall cast out devils. Oh, no, I'm not called in deliverance ministry. If you're a believer, you are. Hello? Rude awakening time. If you're a believer, you are. Hello, somebody. You are called to be strong and do exploits. Exploits. Something totally unheard of, unnatural. God has called you to that. God has called you to miracles. Hello? Oh, no. I cringe at that thought. Let's get rid of that fear. One more testimony and then I'll close. The sister in Vietnamese sister in Anaheim, Garden Grove, California. And she's coming to the meetings, and the sister that was in charge says, all right, says, I want you to pray for the sick. We're going to have an Easter service in this gymnasium. And this was the charismatic Catholics and charismatic Baptists and just a whole mess of folks, you know. It says, I want you to pray for the sick. So I was having visions of Oral Roberts. Just, yes, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Yes, going to get them all healed. Glory to God. I got there, and I got my bubble burst. They said, all right, Bruce, there's about six people here. Get in groups of six and pray for those people. Wow. Six people? I was ready to pray for the multitudes. Six people she gave me to heal, pray for. So this one sister, she come out, an old lady. I mean, the Vietnamese don't hold her, they don't look their age. She looked like she's 60 when she was 85 years old. And so she come up there in prayer line, and they translated, because I don't speak Vietnamese. They translated, and she had chronic knee problems. For over 30 years, she had problems with her knees. And she wanted prayer for that. I said, okay. So I said, this sister, I said, you get down, and you put your hands on her knees, and I'll put my hand on your head. She was a young teenager, precious sister. And I just laid my hands on her, and I said, I speak the miracle in the name of Jesus, or something like that. It doesn't matter what you say. You get caught in a formula, no matter what God says, and speak that out. And so anyway, we all gathered about, and she looked like she was going to cry before I prayed for her, and she looked like she was going to cry after I prayed for her. Didn't see anything visible at all, and I said, well, lift up your knees and do like this, because I seen myself saying that in the spirit. So I said, lift up your knees, and she did that, and still looked like she was going to ball, so I thought I better go on to the next one before I hurt this one. And so this other sister, she says, I have trouble getting the Holy Ghost. I said, you do? She said, yeah. She says, I've been prayed for and I just can't get the Holy Ghost. I said, yes, you can. It's so easy. And I put my hand just like this and the fire of God went through and she just broke out speaking in tongues. Wasn't anything hard about it, but she had ingrained it in her mind that it was hard. Probably somebody spoke that over. It's hard for you to receive. It's going to be hard for you to receive the Holy Ghost. And God went on to perform miracle after miracle. And then at least five of them. Well, I thought that was pretty good. So, anyway, the next week I was there on a Sunday, Saturday before service on Sunday, and they said, have you seen such and such? I says, no. I'm not sure who it was either, you know. She said, well, it's that old lady that you prayed for. She is literally running in the marketplace. She has nothing wrong with her knees. She went back to the doctors, and the doctor said, I've never seen anything like it, but there's no way I can see nothing that's ever been wrong with your knees. You're totally healed. As a matter of fact, you have knees of a younger person. But see, God didn't allow Bruce to get the big head over that. Hello? And God, in his last days, he's not going to allow you to get the big head over this. He's just going to use common, ordinary people that know how to clean bathrooms and do those other chores. And it just, but to have a secret time with God, to have a place with God, and they're not afraid to do the exploits of God, and God is looking for some of those people, and they're you in 1999. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. He's looking for you in 1999. All he's saying is, let's get rid of 1998. Let's get rid of all the the stubbornness and all the rebellion and all the fear and all the ingratitude and everything that plagued the children of Israel. Let's get rid of that and make our exodus clean sweep into 1999, full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. You know, I got so tickled at Brother Bob the other night, and he was preaching about the fire coming out of the eyes and the fire and stuff, and I just, yeah, I've seen that, and I've had that happen. But you know, a lot of times, because we have this bondage in our hearts and our minds, we think it can never be us. Well, God is here to deliver from all that bondage today, because that's what it is, bondage. God desires to use each and every one of us. There is no big eyes and little U's. Like I said, I'm more comfortable in overalls, and I used to really dress up. I really liked, I was a clothes hound. But anymore, you can't hardly get me in a suit. But you know, it's because God has done a humility thing, and it's just not, maybe one day He's going to give me some more good suits. But meanwhile, it doesn't matter. Hello? I don't care about the things I put on. Hello? I don't care about those things. What I care about is the move of God in my life, the Spirit of God in my life, and what God is doing. And God is in the business of reclaiming backsliders. Hello? He is in the business of reclaiming backsliders. Some of you sitting in the back, that don't mean a thing, because I'm not calling you a backslider because you're sitting in. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is the last story, definitely. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming to visit my nieces and nephews. I hadn't seen them in 10 years. And that was on the way to Amarillo that time. That's where most of the money went. I just spent it on them, you know. And so I was over there. I was just really enjoying. You know, if you got, you know, just something about when they say Uncle Bruce and all. Yeah, what do you want, you know? Cotton candy and all that, big old frontier days. And I just shelled it out like I was rich. And then the rude awakening, I didn't have money to get out of town, came to me. Hello? So I began to pray a little bit. My niece was wanting me to go watch her play ball, and she was playing softball. And I sat by this guy and says, "Hey, I'm going to Amarillo, Texas. You want to ride?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I will." And so he fed me and everything all the way there. You know? When God decides, He provides. Hallelujah. So here I was. What was I talking about?
The last one.
Huh? The last one. All right. Glory to God forevermore. Pardon me? Some helps here. Glory. Bring it back, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I went to this Assemblies of God church that morning, you know, and I'm sitting there. I just want my own business. I'm enjoying my nieces and nephews. I didn't come in nowhere to preach, you know. And this Assembly of God pastor, he comes trotting back there after Sunday school class. He says, "You're preaching?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I want you to preach for me tonight." I said, "No, I don't want to preach. I just come out here to visit my nieces and nephews." And so it made me mad. I took off and went and got some Dunkin' Donuts. And I wasn't going to come back, you know. And the Holy Ghost set me in front of, yeah, you know. Now, any of you hard-headed, come on, admit it. I was a little hard-headed then. And so I'm sitting over there, and come out, Doc said. Anyway, I'm sitting over there eating my Dunkin' Donuts, didn't have no thoughts of going back. And the Holy Ghost said, "You get up and you get back there as soon as you finish." I said, "Yes, sir." So I got on back there, and he said, "Well, I want you to preach tonight." I said, "Okay. What do you think, Lord? Give me, you think you give me something real nice, right?" "No, Proverbs 14:14. A backslider in his heart is filled with all of his own ways." But you know what? The altar was full. Hallelujah. There was not one sitting in the seat. Every one of them come up to get right with God. You know, a backslider in their heart's filled with all their own ways, their own reasonings, their own desires, their own way of doing things, not seeking God, but this we're going to do it my way, as Frank Sinatra saying. And you can be backslidden heart sitting right up in church. Hello? Sit right up in church and be backslidden in your heart. Well, God is married to the backslider is the good news. That God is reclaiming people. God is saying, "All right, break out of that lethargy. If you'll take one step, I'll take you from there." Glory be to the Lamb of God. Father, forgive me for lying to these people. I'm going to say one more story. Hallelujah. 1974, going to go to a Morrisville convention. I said, "Man, I'm going to go there." All of a sudden, about a week before the meeting, I had this dream. And in this dream, there was this lady, and she was going up to be prayed for at this platform. And they was praying for something to do, healing with the bones or something. And she fell back, and I caught her in a dream. And that's all I know. The Lord never said nothing else about it, but I just had this urgency, this gnawing in my craw that I had to be at that meeting. So I got to the meeting, and there again was a front row seat for me. And there was this empty seat next to me, and then these two seats were taken here. And so I said to the two ladies down there, I said, do you know the lady that's sitting here? So, well, yes, that's our mother. That's our mother. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Is she wearing a leopard skin coat today? Well, we don't know. Have you seen her? I said, I'm not sure. You know, I hadn't seen her naturally at all, but I thought maybe I'd seen her spiritually, you know. So here she comes out there after a while with two canes and a leopard skin coat on and sit down. And so I'm listening to the service and I'm getting blessed, and all of a sudden an altar call is given for people with arthritis. She had arthritis in both legs, and she was walking with two canes. She was from either Cleveland or Cincinnati, Ohio. And it said, her daughter said to her, Mom, you want to go up for prayer? And she said, no, I don't think I can make it. And I grabbed her and I pulled her out of that chair and I said, yes, you can, in Jesus' name. She was instantly healed. Instantly healed. We walked swinging them two canes out and we were rejoicing in the Lord at what He had done. God wants to use people, ordinary people like you and me, into the miraculous. Into the miraculous. All His warning is for us to have an open heart to say, yes, Lord, wherever You lead me, I'll follow. Whatever You feed me, I'll swallow. I'll go with You all the way. I'll do whatever You want me to do. God was looking for those people in Israel, and He didn't find them. They rebelled and murmured and kicked and snorted. Hallelujah. But He's looking again for those people in us. It'll be yielded to Him. We'll do whatever He wants us to do. When I got here, Glenn said, well, do whatever your hands find to do. Well, my hands find a lot of things to do. And so I just got busy. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for Dan. He pulled me out of the snare a lot of times. He's up there working on that house. And I think he's doing such a good job. I'll let him do it and I'll do something else. Hallelujah. I found some cobwebs that needed cleaning. Hello? Hallelujah. Oh, some people get bothered by cobwebs. They're paranoid of spiders and stuff, you know. You ought to help them out. Clean them up. Glory to God. There ought to be something. Hello? Scripture says that in Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50, this was the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. The first one was listed was pride, fullness of bread, and it was idle hands. Idleness. And you know what? I'm not going to assume that anybody here has got that problem. I'll simply go by what I see. And I see they needed help in the kitchen.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So I'm not going to assume that. I'm going to go by what I see. I was going over to Tijuana, Mexico one time in this hospital to pray for somebody. This is just a short story. And I had these holes in my shoes and I had cardboard stuck in them. And they had these little rocks, only the problem was they blacktopped them, and so they didn't move, you know. And so they was poking up at my feet. I had this Puerto Rican brother with me, and he said, and they had shoes on sale there for $10. We're brand new shoes, you know. And I said, brother, you're going to have to hold up a little bit until I get there. And he says, well, what's the matter? Is something wrong with your feet? I said, no. I says, you didn't want to admit it. I says, I've got some holes in my shoes, you know. And he says, well, brother, says, you ought to get you a new pair of shoes. I said, well, that'd be all right, but I don't have the money. And he said, well, I said, why don't you buy them for me? And I never say anything like that. I said, why don't you buy them for me? And he said, well, I have to pray about it. I said, no, you don't have to pray about that. The Bible says if you see a brother have need, you can see these things. Hello? When you see a need, you can do something about it. God is seeing a need too. He's seeing a need for healing to be made manifest through everybody here. He's seeing a need for salvations to be wrought through everybody here. He's seeing a need for deliverance to come forth and come through everybody here. God is seeing that need. It's God's desire. And He's wanting us to come forth and do the very will of God on this earth. As I spoke earlier about this brother, he was praying, and you know, and God told him that he was going two different directions. He was trying to fly out of here, and God was trying to establish His kingdom on this earth. Hello? That's exactly what. And God's not going to do it in Hot Springs. He's going to do it in you. And you're going to take it back to wherever you came from. Hello? Establishing his kingdom in this earth. Glory to God. I want to pray for a few folks. We're all done preaching. Amen. You know, part of my problem is I used to try to sell insurance. You know? And they told me you've got to close 6 times before you're going to get a sale. And so, you know, if I close 6 times, it's because I'm still selling insurance. Hallelujah. In my mind, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been a grateful audience this morning. And
the new method is if you don't get sold on three closes,
leave. Yeah, leave. Well, I didn't go to that school, and I'm very persistent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many want to be all that God wants you to be? How many want to get rid of something so you can be there? How many want to get rid of fear of unthankfulness and rebellion, Jezebel, Ahab, and all those things? And just be, you know, be. God is looking for go ye people. That's all I am, just a go ye people. Hallelujah. People that will go when he says go. Not those that sit down and say, well, I can't get out the boat. It reminds me of this other story. It's not a story. It's a joke, you know, a fallacy probably. These three fellows went preaching. And one was a Baptist, and one was a Catholic, and one was a Pentecostal. And they all went fishing, and they ran out of worms right after dark. So the Baptist said, I guess I'll go back to the shore and get some. So he stepped out of the boat, walked across the water, went back to camp, got the worms, and brought them back. And they fished some more, and they ran out of worms again. The Catholic fellow said, I guess it's my turn now. I'll go. And so he stepped out of the boat, walked across the water, and went all the way back to camp and come back, and he fished some more. Right before daylight, they ran out of worms a third time. The Pentecostal says, well, I know it's my turn now. He stepped out of the boat and sunk to the bottom of the lake. The Baptist looked at Catholic and says, you think we ought to tell him where the stumps are at? Hallelujah. There's a path that God's already got laid out for you. All you got to do is walk in it. Walk right in that path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll show you where the stumps are at. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He'll show you right where to walk so that you won't fall. And even if you do fall, he'll send the angels that you not even dash your foot. Glory to God. That's good news. Somebody that loves us that much and cares for us. And he just wants to be an extension through our lives of reaching mankind. And hallelujah. I wonder if we could all stand and maybe just have prayer. Hallelujah. Just think about 1998 for a moment. Think about all the things that have happened to you. Maybe do a soul searching and see if something traumatic happened in your life and you allowed a root of bitterness to spring up in you. See if perhaps there was a catastrophe, a divorce, or a major thing, a move, or something tremendous and catastrophic happened in your life. How did you react? What was your attitude? Did you blame God? Did you say it's your fault, God? Would you become resentful and hurtful? Did you take, you know, and take your hurt out on everybody else? Hallelujah. How did you react when something or things bad happened in 1998? If things go your way all of 1998, I sure want to shake your hand. I want to meet you. I want you to tell me what was the secret of your success. I have a suspicion that you're dead. Hallelujah. Yes, I do. I have that suspicion you're totally dead if nothing happened to you at all. Hallelujah. But you know, in retrospect to that, when we are dead in Christ, when somebody buffets us, you poke a dead man, he don't move. And that should be our reaction. We should have this flesh under control of the Spirit of God. We should have this soul under the control of the Spirit of God. So that when people kick at us, when people work against us, that it does not affect us. Some of us need to have rebuke repellent sprayed on us from the Holy Ghost. So that when people rebuke us, it doesn't affect us. Because we're kind of insensitive, or we're really insensitive. And we take everything to heart. And things that were said, we take it the wrong way and say, well, they're picking on me. Well, rebuke repellent will take care of that. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost wants to toughen the hide. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.